Quickly the days that are numbered pass by. So quickly the days of God's judgment draws nigh. So heedless of danger we're living today. God's love and mercy we're throwing away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity for those who so carelessly forgotten their God. While they warn off the dangers that lie in their path, but they heed not His mercy and they kindle God's wrath. Pleasures of this world is their only care. For where you have pleasure, their hearts will be there. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. He said that His kingdom was not of this world. So what is the profit of silver and gold? So cheap it will seem on that great judgment day, when fire and great heat will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity for those who so carelessly forgotten their God. He said that His kingdom was not of this world. So what is the profit of silver and gold? So cheap it will seem on that great judgment day, when fire and great heat will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievement, the mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity. And those who so carelessly forgotten their God. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity for those who so carelessly forgotten their God. On those who so carelessly forgotten their God. People said I'll never make it. They said I'll never see it true. But they don't know what keeps me going. I guess they never have met you. All my life was in shambles until the day you came along. You turned my tears into laughter. You gave me a brand new song. I'm still holding on. Lord, I'll never let you go. You give me a smile. You touch my heart. You touch my soul. All the bridges left behind me, Lord, I burn them to the ground. I'm still holding on to the best thing I ever found. Voted likely not to prosper, was left hanging over my head. You'll never amount for nothing, that's what most people say. I'm enough to be unsettled, I never stayed around too long. But Lord, You're the treasure I've been searching for. And Lord, I'm still holding on. I'm still holding on. Lord, I'll never let
let you go. You give me a smile. You touch my heart. You touch my soul. All the bridges left behind me. Lord, I burned them to the ground. I'm still holding on. And the best thing ever found. Vote it likely not to prosper. Was left hanging over my head. You'll never count for nothing. That's what most people say. I've been known to be unsettled. I never stayed around too long. But Lord, you're the treasure I've been searching for. And Lord, I'm still holding on. I'm still holding on. Lord, I'll never let you go. You gave me a smile. You touched my heart. You touched my soul. All the bridges left behind me. Lord, I burned them to the ground. I'm still holding on to the best thing I ever found.
I thought number one would surely be me. I thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought I could build on life's sinking sand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountains too high, the valleys too wide. Down on my knees, that's where I learned to stand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I thought I could do a lot on my own. I thought I could make it all the day long. I thought of myself as a mighty big man. Lord, I can't even walk without you
holding my hand. Lord, I
can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountains too high, the valleys too wide. Down on my knees, that's where I learned to stand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. That's why I'll make Jesus my all in all. And if I'm in trouble, on his name I'll call. If I didn't trust him, I'd be less of a man. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountains too high, the valleys too wide. Down on my knees, that's where I learned to stand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. That's why I'll make Jesus my all in all. And if I'm in trouble, on his name I'll call. If I didn't trust him, I'd be less of a man. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountains too high, the valleys too wide. Down on my knees, that's where I learned to stand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I cannot forget the day when I heard my Savior say, come to me, my child, and be made whole. Then I left my Savior and He forgave me all of my sin. Started a fire burning so bright way down in my soul. It's never gone out. It's never gone out. Oh, Satan has tried many times to make me doubt. But when I feel that warmth inside, I know that my soul is satisfied. The flame has flickered, but the fire has never gone out. Since Jesus kindled the flame, things have been changed. No, I'm not the same. He lit the fire in His great eternal love. Down in my soul now there is peace, a joy that will never, never cease. Thank God for holy fire from heaven above. It's never gone out, it's never gone out. Oh, Satan has tried many times to make me doubt. But when I feel that warmth inside, I know that my soul is satisfied. The flame has flickered, but the fire has never gone out. Since Jesus kindled the flame, things have been changed. No, I'm not the same. He lit the fire in His great eternal love. Down in my soul now there is peace, a joy that will never, never cease. Thank God for holy fire from heaven above. It's never gone out, it's never gone out. Satan has tried many times to make me doubt. But when I feel that warmth inside, I know that my soul is satisfied. Thank God for holy fire from heaven above.
That's the story of my life. Back in the 90s, the Lord came to me and He kindled that flame. Back in the day, 71, I was born again. I was on fire for God back then. But I was so immature, you know. I thought everything in the Spirit is from the Lord, but I didn't realize. The devil can infiltrate your mind and your thoughts. You think it's God because it's in the Spirit, eh? And then I was backslidden for the longest time. And then early 90s, the Lord came on the scene. Let's go, we got some work to do. Just when my last daughter was born. You're going to have to give that to me. I'll take care of things. And then in the meantime, we got some work to do. And it's going to cost you everything. Everything you ever worked for, everything stood for, you're going to have to give it up. Because they're going to come and take it away from you. When you're going to work for me. And that's exactly what happened. It just came in overnight and just, you got nothing. Because, you know, if you don't allow yourself to be brainwashed and if you compromise with these tugs, then you're out, you know, just like the Bible says. Once you're dead to that system, these tugs, these religious leaders and these Pharisees and these scribes, and these zealots, they'll come and they'll do exactly what they did back throughout history. They'll terminate you. But see, that's when the Lord came along, kindled that flame, and we've been going ever since. And what do you want to talk about today? a lot of people give up, eh? See, we haven't given up. Ever since the 90s, we've been moving ahead. And then charging on ahead, and like people said, we're bound and determined to make it. The flame has flickered, but the fire has never gone out. And people think they know me, but they knew me as I was. In fact, prior to the 90s, they didn't know me as what we're about now. That's why they can't connect the dots, you know. You don't know what that guy up to. And then they call you crazy and things like that. And if you can't find nothing on it, they'll lie up something. It's all part of the program. That's just the way it is, and you can't change that. But like I say, you want to talk about not giving up. We've been beating the drums here ever since the early 90s, you know. I told these preachers about God sent the prophet. They thought I was completely losing it. You're trying to tell it God sent the prophet. What's this thing about this prophet? They never as much as even took a look at it. Well, we just kept on going, with or without them. They did done themselves a big favor if they would at least looked at it. They didn't even take time out to go check it out, to go look at it. And I kept telling them, when you build a kitchen, you go all the way, it's a sketch in Alberta, to look for the best of the best. And here is something that has affects your eternal destiny. You wouldn't even as much as look at it. Mm-hmm. And that's just the way it is. And then at the end of the day, they'll kick you out because that journey that you and I are on, it doesn't fit with that system, because they're organized religion, eh? Mm-hmm. And the Lord can't work with organized religion, because he said back in the day, your traditions and your have made the word of God a non-effect, your religions and all that. God can't get in there. He couldn't get it in when he was here. These zealots, mm-hmm, and these Pharisees, they just try to buck him every inch of the way. But see, he just kept moving on ahead, and eventually crucify him. That's what the world does. That's what that religious system does out there. And that's what they've done to us. And we just kept on moving. God always has an open door. You just pray, and then you pray your way out, and then go to, no, you do not have to go this direction now. Mm-hmm. And you got to leave them in the dust and move on. And that's why we haven't given up to this day. We're just charging on ahead. If people want to come along, and then that's fine. If not, it's for their demise, you know. We had a lot of people, man, living. I was thinking yesterday how many people we've had that they would on this WhatsApp thing, and even on the internet, when we got tons of countries tapping in, and then after a while, they're not tapping in that much more anymore, because they're giving up, you know. You say something and it offends them. And that's exactly what Jesus meant when he said, are you offended too? You can go back to Matthew 13, where it talks about the word of God going out, and some were offended, and they packed it in, and they didn't follow Jesus no more. In fact, there came a time when he had 3,000, 5,000 following him, and then they came dwindled down. If you don't hate your father, your mother, your wife, your children, it doesn't mean that you literally hate somebody, but they're a secondary item. I don't hate my family, but they're a secondary item. This here thing, this is more to me than life itself. If I didn't have this here truth, I wouldn't want to live, because that's where the Lord brought us to, and everything else becomes a secondary item, and then they think you hate them. No, they just become a secondary item, and God will look after the necessary things. But see, we haven't given up, because every time they try to close that door, then there's another door that opens. And that's the way our journey has been, and we're still going strong today. But we're not going to give up, because we're bound and determined to make it through, to do whatever it takes to be to make it through the jungle. That's why we know what's going on. We know the hour we're living in. We know the perilous times are here. They're not coming. Perilous times are here. We're right in the middle of this thing that's been prophesied. Mm-hmm. Scoffers will come, and all these things are right in our face, right before us. We're surrounded with all this evil, and that's all the... that's why we're doing what we're doing. That's why we do the things we do every day. That's why we're about the Lord's business every day. Keep your limbs all trimmed and burning. If we didn't do that, we'd be like a lot of other people. They sleep in until 9, 10, and then the only reason they get up, they have to go to work. But if it does not have to go, like you and I, we don't have to go to work. We're tired. We're about the Lord's business for the last riffing a day already. And like I said the other day, when we were trucking, Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, we'd shut the truck down and we'd have a 2-hour conversation about the things of the Lord. And we've been doing that ever since 2012. And that's what the Lord has directed us. Like I said, I sat before an open door. There's always an open door. There's always something more. Then he took us off the truck and he told us to have these days daily sessions, and then he told us to get up in the morning. Then he told us to sing these songs in the morning to keep yourself spiritually alive. Keep your limbs all trimmed and burning, because he knows the hour we're living in. He knows all this evil that we're surrounded with, and we have no, like I said, like a song, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. And if you think you can make it through this jungle without the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to find yourself flopping down because you can't make it. Mm-hmm. Unless you be direct and guided by Him, by His Spirit, that's the only way you'll be able to make it through this jungle.
Heavenly Father, we're going to come into your presence, Lord, to just
give you thanks for this another day of life, for the many things you do for us. Help us, Lord, that we never take it for granted, but that we'll keep on charging ahead, taking advantage of the time that we have here on earth, that we would do something for our eternal destiny, so that we'll have something to glean there when the end of all things come, and when you show up and take the people away, Lord. We just pray we'll be counted amongst those that small number that your word talks about, and we just pray you'll just continue to do with us as if it, because the times are so hard, Lord, we can't make it without you. We see the evil that we're surrounded with, and just by your grace and mercy, Lord, that you've given us the insight to see the hour we're living in, Lord. We just pray you continue to do with us as you see fit. I pray you'll open the hearts of the people, Lord, that the many people that have checked in and their interest and their eternal destiny, and just pray you'll open up your word for them. Just pray you'll do something in their life that'll give them desire to move on ahead and to make sure that they don't come into this judgment that's just up the road here. We just pray you'll give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, it's not a time. It's not a time to back up. It's not a time to give in. You know, a lot of people who give in. I know a lot of people. I've met a lot of people over the years and talked to a lot of people and tried to persuade them to hold on there. Just hang in there. Don't give up. But it falls on deaf ears and they seem to think it's a cool thing to give up, and you gotta pray your way. You gotta do whatever the word says. You gotta allow the Spirit of the Living God to lead and guide you. And if you don't do that, you're not gonna make it. You gotta be obedient to the Lord because He wants you to make it more than you want to make it yourself. He wants you in heaven more than you ever want to be there. It's just out of the desire and the passion. But He can't go around twisting your arm if you. That's why he gave mankind a freedom of choice. That's what happened back in the prehistoric. He gave those angels a freedom of choice, and before long they had it all messed up. They decided to do their own thing, and before you know it, they had that whole animal kingdom so set against each other that they started killing each other. And that's just the nature of the beast. That's what the devil does even today. He'd like to get in here and try to divide you and I against each other, and if you can't do that, he'd go back and then take another run at it, but he'd find out another scheme. That's what he's trying to do in America, trying to divide people against Trump. And he's very successful at the garbage he's doing. But see, the Democrats, they're of the devil. They're demonic. But they do, they stick together. No matter if they're right or wrong, no matter, they don't want nobody upsetting the replicar. And the minute somebody doesn't agree with the Democrat, they put them out of their fellowship. And they ride them, and they persecute them, and they terrorize them. And that's how the devil does. He wants his kingdom completely together, agreement whether it's right or wrong. I know, I've been through these torture chambers, like these unright preachers, when they came and put their, and called me into their kangaroo court. Those preachers, they're stuck together like thieves, you know. No matter, you can prove them with the scripture that God sent the prophet, that baptism in Jesus' name, all the things that we're trying to tell us. But they stick together. They all came together and had a meeting about me, and they already know before they come there that they're gonna, well, who's gonna be the winner here?
Mm-hmm.
And they don't even reason. You can't even reason with these people. And at the end of the day, I had to be terminated. They had to terminate me because I wasn't going to break. I wasn't going to give in because I know I'm right. And to this day, you and I, we know we're right. That's why we put these things out there. That's why we talk with such assurance because we got the program. We got the whole counsel of God. We know what we've been through. We know how all our life we long to know this Bible. We long to know this great God. And if by rich and mercy, he allowed us to come to the and time message and a message of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson. And then when they went off the scene, he was looking around for somebody that they can trust with that word, somebody that's not going to cave, somebody that's in it for the long haul. That's why we're trucking forever and a day. We're trucking for the long haul. They call it long haul trucking. You know how it means, what it means to be consistent and to persevere, because that's what that our whole life has been, to persevere. And then when the Lord comes on the scene and makes you make a corner, then you go on to the next chapter. But in the meantime, you just got to persevere until the Lord does something. He shows up at night or somehow he gets you awake. And like I said over and over again, he came to me back in the early 90s and said, let me know, Sam, I'm coming soon. I'm coming in your lifetime. And God speaks to you. You see the whole picture, just as clear as crystal. And you can't back up because now you're ejected into a different lifestyle. Things of this world have no meaning. Once the Lord tells you he's coming in my lifetime, the things of this world are just fleeting. You just need enough to get by, like the apostles at the end of their journey. They thank God that they were allowed to live even in this world in a simple lifestyle. They didn't need all these mansions and all this money and all these things. They just said, we thank the Lord of heaven and earth that you have allowed us to live in this world in a simple way. And that's all we want. We just want a simple house. Just want just enough to get by. And you'd be surprised how little you need to just to get by. In fact, that's our whole lifestyle. That's what we've been about.
It says in Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. And when we walk through our lives, how the Lord saved us, and our concern was the coming of the Lord, because we are living in that time frame of the coming of the Lord. And that's what God woke us up and in order for us to be ready for his coming. And he led us through to where he is in the present day and hour. Like a lot of people, when they sat under the ministry of Brother Branham, they like being healed and everything and all the excitement, all the drama and stuff like that. But when it came down to the Word of God, a lot of them, they were offended at the Word and they could no longer sit under his ministry. And they just went to places where they would hear whatever their ears want to hear. And that's what happened. Like when I came to Brother Ram Jackson, I thought everybody in the world should be lined up to hear him. That's just how much it affected me to hear the truth. That's why it says, buy the truth and sell it not. And the things that they said, like what God required, water baptism in Jesus' name, and by immersion for the remission of your sins, we took that serious and we pursued it. Just like you would pursue a pearl of great price, you would pursue something, and that's what we found. We found a ministry of Brother Brennan and Brother Jackson. And in that ministry, there was a preparation to prepare yourself for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it was all about, so that you can have on that clothing. And in it, there's no, what point is there in giving up? There's no real point in giving up, because when you give up, your whole life becomes meaningless and you come to a standstill. It's when you keep on moving, that's when, even though it's at times you're all by yourself, right? Because people just give up. And then when you look back in your journey, you can see so many people that you've met along the course of your journey, but we don't know where they are at today, spiritually speaking, because a lot of them, when the truth came by their way, they were offended at the word. They were offended what God requires for this day and hour, and they could not, and they did not want that. So you'd had to part ways with a lot of people, and that's just how it works. But we, it says, buy the truth and sell it not, and that's what we did.
Yeah, you can read that over in Matthew 13, where it said the sower went forth to sow, and some fell on stony ground, some fell on this, and some fell on that, and the enemy came, and many of them were offended at the word. It's all right there for you to see. We're living in that era of time. Everything in the scripture is coming to fruition. But there's some that fell on a good ground, on a heart that was prepared, that a hunger and a thirst, and they wanted that truth no matter what they had to pay for. They were willing to walk away from everything that they ever worked for, as long as they can have this truth and hang on to it. And there's some that took it so callously, and they, when the heat was on, and the challenges came their way, and the devil threw everything at them he could, then they caved. They compromised, and they went back to the cesspool. Cesspools of religion. That's what happened to this Windy Bay guy. The things were gotten a little bit tough, and then all of a sudden, what do? They pack it in and they go back to the compound. And I can about imagine how miserable they are, because I know what it is if you're not moving on. If you're not moving on, you're going back to the world. Eventually, you're going to go back to that Roman Catholic system. Just that simple. But see, we're bound and determined to make it. We're bound and determined to move on. If they close this door, like back in the day when I was terminated, I went to work for the farmer. So guess what they did? They went to the farmer and told him, if you allow, have anything to do with Sam, you can't come on our property anymore. And I went to the church with these plaques, and they went to them and said, if you have anything to do with Sam, you can't build no more barns for the Hutterite colonists. And that's how, they were serious. And then eventually I moved to Alberta, and up there I was staying with his ex-Hutterite. So what did they do? They went to his parent, the person I was staying with, and they went to his, they called him up, and they told, tell their son to kick me out of the house. You know, everywhere they had connection, and they tried everything to corral me back into that system, into the cesspool of religion. And I was bound and determined, and then the door just opened another door. And wherever they tried to pluck the hole, you know, back in the days of, you can go read it, back in the days of Isaac, he built a well, and I guess his enemies came, and they didn't like the way they didn't like how prosperous Isaac was, and they were jealous of him. So what did they do? They went and plugged his well, so he wouldn't have any water for the cows. So what did he do? He just packed his bags and moved down in another county, and then he dug another well, and then they plugged that one. And then the more they plugged the well, the more prosperous he got. And then finally the third well, well, they finally looked at him, and they said, well, no use plugging his well. He's just getting more prosperous, more rich. So they kind of made friends with him, you know. They kind of cuddled up to him so that they would get blessed too. And that's what happened in my life. They tried to plug every hole. And this one guy came to me and said, Sam, I don't know what it is about you. Every time we think we got you down, you come up somewhere else. Well, that's just what it is. That's just the way it works. It's just like that song we sing. You just never give up, you know, that's what we're talking about. You don't give up, because if you give up, you might as well never have been alive.
That's
because
right.
In fact, it's even worse, because look at all the glory you could have had if you weren't giving up. You've got to fight right to the bitter end. It says he that endured to the end, that guy should be saved. You don't get a blessing for pecking it in halfway through the journey. You get nothing.
Right.
You get you're just a failure. You're just a loser. Just like that Dan Bongino. If you put him in as an FBI director, guess what he does? He packs it in, has to go and get stuff, and he goes back and goes to his talk show again. Things like that. I thought to myself yesterday, where would America be if George Washington would have packed it in just anywhere along the journey, because he had a tough. He looks like it was almost defeat, that nobody was with him anymore, but he just kept charging on ahead, and eventually they won that war of independence with Britain. And that's what happens when you want to give up. Well, they got nothing if you give up. And that's a lot of people, man. If we had all the people that would still listen on YouTube and on our WhatsApp, you'd have tons of people. You'd have to start up another WhatsApp. Now they listen a while, and then something is said that offends them, and then they pack it in. I don't know why they don't know. I don't really know the reason why all of a sudden they would pack it in and just not show up anymore. Because this is the truth. You and I, we know this is the only thing for the day and hour we're living in. This is the last leg of the journey from the crazy. It always evolved into something else. But this, we're talking about the grace age. For the last 2,000 years, the grace of God has been ministering to the people to call out and ride for the Lord Jesus Christ. But here, we're just doing the glean. We're picking up the scraps. We're just the last leg of the journey here, the last what's left over from the grace age is the invitation of the marriage supper of the Lamb. If you can only get yourself to be a place where you can believe what we're saying, you'll have a glorious end. But if you don't, then you're going to have to, like I say, it switches into something else. And once that rapture happens, then it switches into, blessed is he that dies in the Lord from henceforth. See, God never gives up. He just keeps on moving on. But now, to get to heaven, you're going to have to give your life for it. You're just going to have to get your head chopped off to get immortal. See, we just happen to tap into the blueprint. We just happen to find in the scriptures, because that's all we've ever done. We've always been in that word, and then God, by rich and mercy, allowed us to come to the ministry of Brother Branham and then to the ministry of Brother Jackson. And we get the picture completely crystal clear. There's a lot of people that listen, sat under Brother Branham, but when Brother Branham passed away, they couldn't accept the fact that now God is moving on with Raymond M. Jackson. Just that simple. And we happened to tap into that, and we just followed through with it. And here we've been blessed ever since. And then when he goes off to sea, we're all being tested, just like it was back in the days of Gideon. He had 10,000 at one time. I think he had actually started out with 100,000. Then the Lord said, you had too many. Just tell the ones that they can go home if they want to. So he was left with 10,000. So the Lord told him, you go down, take him down to the water, and I'll show you who to go in there to defeat the Midianites with. So he took the 10,000, went down to the river, tested them, and somehow God showed him who the 300 are, and he picked out the 300. I want you to take these 300, and with them you go in there and you defeat the Midianites. And the same thing here, that's what happened when Brother Jackson left the scene. The Lord was looking around for somebody that he knows he can trust with that word, somebody that's steadfast, somebody that won't give up when the going gets tough. They'll just keep right on going. They'll pray their way out. They'll look for an open door. They'll do whatever it takes. They'll fast and they'll pray and they'll try to find that open door, because he said, I have set before you an open door. There's always an open door. There's always a way if you beg and plead with the Lord, he'll show you where to go, just like he did with me. He told me to go and work for that neighbor. And then when that neighbor, then he told me this, and he told me that, and then he told me to move to Alberta. All these things he did, God, they try to plug every hole here. Mm-hmm. And that's just the way the devil does it. It's just his characteristic. Mm-hmm. He'll try to stop you, then he'll try to intimidate you, and they're trying to take away everything from you, but you were bound and determined. You and I, we were bound and determined. No matter what happens, we're just going to keep on going.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And you have to take a stand in life. Like, you can't just be a driftwood and drift along and think that somehow you're going to end up in a good place. You know, you have to really stand up and fight and be accounted for. Otherwise, of course, you'll just drift along wherever that river takes you to, and wherever driftwood will get caught along the road of life, that's where it stops and it never goes on. But we determined that we're going to make it to the end, and then That's like when with Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson, like they said things that are not 100% aligned up with the Word of God. But in it all, there was the fan that was in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that fan was to separate. And then, like when Brother Jackson was really into the fivefold ministry, and he was really into like the ministry will sound the thunders that it talks about in Revelation chapter 10. Mm-hmm. And one day the Lord spoke to me. He said to me that we have to go back and reevaluate the cold case. The cold case was this idea that seven men in the ministry of Brother Jackson will sound these thunders that that you can read off in the book of Revelation chapter 10. And the Lord spoke to me and he said we have to go back and reevaluate that case. It has become a cold case because everybody just went along with it, even though they did not have a revelation on it and anything. But one day the Lord started working, dealing with me on that chapter. What happened back in 1963 when Brother Brenham was up at Sabina Canyon. And see, if we would be so, if we would take every word that Brother Jackson said, we would really be finding ourselves in a place where there are seven men that will sound these seven thunders eventually. But these men have proven not to be faithful to the Word of God. So how can these sound a thunder? And then the Lord let me know that those thunders happened in 1963. And when I know what it means not to go walk on in God. Like when I thought to myself, like, why would God show me this? Like, who would I be that God would reveal this to me? And then I could see that my life had no more meaning. Like sometimes you really have to put your life on the line.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to go out on a limb. And then once I determined, you know what, this is what the Lord let me see, that those thunders happened in 1963 down at the Sabina Canyon when the Lord opened up those seals. In Revelations, that's up to the sixth seal. The seventh seal is basically the week of Daniel. And then you can see the whole plan of what God has planned for the grace age and then the week of Daniel, the day of the Lord, and going into the millennium, reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And once I established that in my heart and not let the devil take it away from me, my life once again had purpose. If I would have shut that off, my life would no more have a purpose. See, that's what it means. Sometimes you have to really put your life on the line in order. You can't just give up and quit.
Mm-hmm.
You have to endure. Sometimes you have to really put your life on the line.
See, back in the day when the Lord allowed me to see what that other thing is all about, I saw the spirit of it. And once you see the spirit of it, you can't no more go along with these people. Whether they're your dad or your in-laws or your brothers or your sisters, it doesn't matter because God has allowed you to see through the eyes of the spirit that's driving that Hutterite preacher system. It's so diabolic. I was weak for 3 days. I couldn't eat and sleep because I saw the spirit of it. And then I went out and that's when the Lord said, you got to go up and expose that thing. And then when everybody thought that was crazy. They'd been going on for 600 years. You're going to try to interfere here? Well, they've been wrong for 600 years then. But I saw the spirit of it was driving it. And then I wasn't afraid to step up to the plate and say it exactly the way it needs to be said. I said, that thing is of the devil. Yet baptism that you baptize your young people with, it's strictly out of the devil because it's Satan's baptism because he hijacked it after the early church went to sleep and and in comes Satan, 325 A.D., and he established a phony, artificial, hijacked water baptism. Titled as the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost by pouring the sprinkling. I felt I told him that because I saw the picture. I saw the spirit behind it, and I was not afraid to say it, even though he caused me everything. That didn't bother me, none. As long as I'm right, as long as I know I'm right with the Lord, just like when the Lord told you to go back to examine that cold case. See, what Brother Jackson, not everything Brother Jackson preached was right. And I used to think everything he said was right, but little by little, the Lord let me know, no, the fan is in his hand. God is allowing Brother Jack to say things that's not true, so that you and I, we go back to just check it out with the Bible. He said, 7 men from this ministry is going to bring forth the thunders. Well, I took a look at it. No, it's not going to be 7 men. And that's when you came up with that cookie. The Lord told you to go back and review it and take inventory of that cookie, which Brother Jackson said laid down law. 7 men from this ministry is going to bring forth a thunder. And these people believe they make sure they got 7 men in their clique. And if they only had 5, then what they do, they're going to go and ordain another preacher, so at least they have 7 men from their clique that's going to bring forth a thunder. And that's the way they are to this day. But the Lord got a hold of you and told you, Lorraine, let's go back and evaluate the cookie. And he let you know that the 7 thunders happened, ducked down and Jeffersonville, Indiana, after Brother Brennan was up at Sabino Canyon. And then those angels came down, and then he told to go down to Jeffersonville and preach on the 7, on those 7 thunders and everything. And here, one by one, Monday, he went to the pulpit, and there was that church age of Ephesus. That angel of Ephesus came down and thundered what happened back in that early church. And then the second church age, the third church age, all these were things that Brother Brennan brought out, and then you saw the cold case, and you brought it out, like you were saying, you thought you'd just keep it to yourself, but the Lord, your life had no meaning until you put it out there on the internet and let everybody have access to it. Even though nobody believed you, just you and I, the only 2 ones that believed. I didn't see it myself for about 2 weeks. But I didn't. I looked at it. Yeah, that would make sense. They happened back in 1963. These thunders happened. And see, these people out there, these Branhamites and these Jacksonites, not even the Branhamites, they don't even know nothing about that. It's those that were sitting on the Brother Jackson. They're still out there waiting for the thunders. And here the thunders happened back in 1963. And you and I, we happened to believe it, and then we kept on moving on, because we can't stop it. The minute you stop, everything that you ever done in life has got absolutely no meaning. That's what happened back to me about when he started trucking together. All of a sudden, the thought came to me, I wonder what people will think about us. And the Lord came on the scene before I could think, even let it grab a hold of my heart and be intimidated what people were saying. He just came on the scene, saying, you know exactly what they'll think about it when you drive around with Lorraine. You know what they'll think. And but I tell you what, without Lorraine, there is no more of a journey. The journey stops right here, because without her, you ain't going anywhere. And that's exactly right. That's what happened. We've been ever together since whenever that was, 2012 or sometimes when we started trucking together. That's the way it's been going ever since. And you say it, I think it, you say it, or vice versa. That's how close we are. Like I said the other day, that Jesus prayed and that prayer before he went to the crucifixion, that they may be one as you and I are one. We think the same. We're on the same journey. We're in the same path. And that's why we know this thing that you and I are doing, this thing is of the Lord. And if we just keep persevering, he take us on right on into that direction. That's why we keep pounding away day after day about the very supper of the Lamb. If you can only get yourself to believe that this thing that we're saying here is 100% accurate, then you're going to find out, you're going to find yourself at the very supper of the Lamb somehow. And if you don't believe it, that king comes in and he finds you without the wedding garment on, and then he's just going to say, bind him hand and foot, get him out of here. Because he's just playing the game. And it's just the way it is. We're just carrying on. We're not giving up. We're just straight on ahead, pedal to the metal. Because we got nothing. There's nothing back there to give up to, you know. Mm-hmm. There was something back there, but there's nothing back there because 3 years from now, nothing will be left of this world. This world will be going out into... It's a terrible thing what this world is coming to, because it says in Revelation, everything that can be shaken will be shaken, so that only that things that cannot be shaken will fall by the wayside. And that Roman Catholic thing, that Roman Catholic apparatus, that whole church system is going down the tube because it is all of the devil. That whole modern day infrastructure, that Roman Catholic church, that church system out there is not of God. Because at the end of the day, when the shaking is done, the only thing that'll stand is the word of truth. And we got the truth here, and it'll stand the test of time. All you and I have to do now is make sure that we don't cave in, that we don't give up. We come this far up the road, and we have no intentions of giving up. We have no intention of pecking it in, like a lot of these people that list us on WhatsApp. After a while, they're so faithful for months and months. They peck in their first thing in the morning, they list us, and then all of a sudden, there's no sign of them. They just chill out. Because we must have said something that offends them, just like it says, many are going to be offended at the word in these last days. And just fulfilling scripture, we're not intending to peck in, we're not intending to give up. If we have to fast for 2-3 days out of the week, we'll do that just to keep our spiritual life in line. And that's what the Lord wants us to do, that's what we'll do. It's mostly about crucifying the flesh, because the only enemy we really have, it's the natural man. He just wants to pull you out and left field every chance he gets. He wants you to peck it in and give up. But you gotta establish in your heart, this is the truth. That's simple.
Yeah, that's right. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you and we just want to give you thanks for everything you've done in our lives, Lord. And we just want to come and always come to a place where we can hear you say one day, you good and faithful servant. And like Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. And that's what we want to hear one day, that we've made it and endured to the end. We kept the fight, Lord. So we just pray for our people, Lord, that you'll open up their hearts, their understanding, Lord, that this is not something to take lightly, Lord, that we are all accountable for our lives, Lord, and one day we'll have to stand before you, and what we have done with this life here will determine where we're going to be, Lord. So we just pray, Lord, that you'll help people to understand, Lord, that this life is a fight, and it's a fight to the finish line, Lord. We just want to give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.